Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege of being in this place. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And we pray, God, that he will just walk up and down these aisles tonight during the message and touch everyone in this building with a brand new touch before they leave. Father, before they walk into their dormitories, may they know they've been with God. Oh, God, there's people in this building, young people in trouble with God tonight. In trouble, in deep trouble, Father. They must make that commitment. And Jesus, I know you're going to touch them. I know you're going to minister to them, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Now, Father, let the word of the Lord just fall on good ground tonight. Let it fall on good ground that these young people may know what is the confidence that they can have in Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord, we pray. Everyone said amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to Youth Camp number 2. Hallelujah. The message tonight is spectacles for Christ. Do you want to be a spectacle for Jesus Christ? Do you know what a spectacle is? A spectacle is a person who makes a fool out of himself. Is that right? The Bible said, and the Bible is our own commentator tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 10. The Bible said we are fools for Christ. That's right. We are fools for Christ's sake. And then the Bible goes on to say, the Apostle Paul, he says, but you are wise. There's nothing wrong with being a fool for Christ and being wise at the same time. I've got several letters in my trailer that I received in my California tour that I just returned from 5 weeks of California, traveling in Los Angeles, San Francisco, and all over California in crusade. And one evening I felt impressed to ask the young people to bring problems they had on a piece of paper, write them, and I would try to answer them by the Bible. We were even having church in the morning and at night. Over 45 young people were saved in a five-night crusade. But it was shocking what I read in some of the petitions they brought. One young lady wrote, who was 15 years old, what would you tell me if I told you that I was going to kill myself? And the thought of suicide crosses the minds of many young people today. And some of you that are sitting here, you've got problems, you've been uptight, you've been discouraged, you have been disillusioned. You couldn't wait till camp start because you knew God was going to meet you, and he's going to. I said he's going to. But we must learn to become a spectacle all year round, not only 1 week out of the year, and that's camp. We must learn to be a spectacle when we walk out of this camp and stay on fire for God. Let's continue to read verse 9. The Apostle Paul said, I think that God hath set us forth as apostles last, as they were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels and to men. Even unto this present hour we hunger, we thirst, we're naked, we're buffeted. We have no certain dwelling place. We labor working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all the things unto this day. But I say to you, young person, you're special because you're a son of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask God to just use the word. Father, just let this word go forth. And let these young people hear it and hear it well, that they may become a spectacle for Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everybody said amen. Amen. How many know that we are only traveling here and that we don't belong to this city? The Bible said that we are pilgrims just traveling by. And I know that my citizenship is not in Oklahoma, is not in New York City, or Philadelphia, is in heaven. Matter of fact, I was in New York City some time ago visiting some friends, and they stopped me and they said, hey man, you're looking good, man. You're off drugs. You're doing great. Where you going, man? I said, I'm going to heaven, just passing through the Bronx. Because I'm going to heaven. You see, my citizenship is in heaven and I know who Jesus Christ is. I want to talk about some spectacles in the Bible, some people in the Bible that became God's man, that became God's pride, that became God's choice, that he may do whatsoever what he wants to do with us. And I'm going to tell you, during these camp, young people, God must do exactly what He wants to do with us and nothing what we want Him to do with us. Hello? You know, the devil, he likes to make us feel like we need this and we need that, but God knows what we need. God knows what we need. Today, to be a spectacle, it seems as we read the newspaper, the only thing that is attracting the news media is people who hijack airplanes, the Hare Krishnas, the Jehovah's Witness, the Mormons. People are drawing attention to themselves. The sex revolution, the drugs. Thursday night I'll be sharing my personal testimony how God delivered me from 5 years of heroin addiction. And all of these things seem to be an impression upon young people. But I tell you, one of the greatest spectacles we need is not a man who goes and steals and cheats and cheats from his wife, steals from his mother, lies to manipulate his way. He's not a spectacle. The kind of spectacles we need are young people who will take their Bibles and say, I was never an ex-junkie. I never did this. I never did that. But I stayed at the foot of the cross and I stayed saved and full of the Holy Ghost and I knew who Jesus Christ is. Don't you get the impression that you have to go out and shoot drugs and become some kind of spectacle with a testimony that you shot drugs and then have to come back and tell how Jesus saved you. Man, you got a testimony because Jesus is keeping you from the power of all those demons of drugs. And I like spectacles who have been saved all their life. I like to see young men who've been saved all their life. I like to see, don't you like men to be men? I like men to be men and women to be women, don't you? I like the fellas to act like men and talk like men and push like men and even smell like men. And I like the girls to look like ladies and act like ladies and talk like ladies. You got some guys walking around going, hi there. And we need men to be men. People who stand out for Jesus Christ. Brother, thank God that we can be spectacles. There's no mistake. You can always tell a 13-year-old. When a boy's 13, he joins the Boy Scout. When he's 15, he joins the Girl Scout. He just wakes up one morning and he sees those 13 chin whiskers on his face. And he says, go get him, Tiger. He looks in the mirror. Hey, man, he's 15 years old. He's become a spectacle to the world. The world knows who he is. But I want to tell you something. There is something far better than being acknowledged in school. There's something far better than being acknowledged by the news media. There's something far better than being a cheerleader. There's something far better than being on the basketball team or the football team. There's something far better than being recognized in your neighborhood as the cool cat of the town. There's something far better than that. There's something far better to know that when you walk out of this camp, your name is written on the Lamb's Book of Life and you have made Jesus your Lord. Hallelujah. And that's being a spectacle for Christ. Oh, they'll laugh at you. They'll call you holy rollers. How many's been called that already? They call us holy rollers and what they say is true. But if they knew what we were rolling about, they'd be rolling in too. They'll make spectacles out of us. They'll call us all kinds of names. I want to tell you about spectacles in the Bible now. Men who stopped the mouth of hell and opened the windows of heaven. I want to talk about Paul first. Now, Paul, I could really relate to Paul because Paul was in prison. And Paul's been in prison. He's a jailbird. And he was in prison all the time. What was he in prison for? Preaching the gospel. Because he was telling people the right way. And nowadays, if you really want to make a scene in the world, you got to say something dirty, something nasty, something vile, something unscriptural to make the world look at you. Now, listen. I believe that we need to march as a mighty army and let the world know that we can live clean, saved, sanctified, and filled with the mighty Holy Ghost. You believe that? Now, young people, Brother Torres is going to talk to you straight this week. There's no mucking around with this preacher. I tell it to you straight. I've seen too many young people come to me with problems. I had a young lady write us from Oklahoma City, 14 years old, and we was just in an Oklahoma City crusade. And at a particular good-sized church, fine pastor. She's a daughter of some very fine people. And she wrote and she said, and wrote to our home in Fairfax, Oklahoma, and wrote, said, Mr. Torres, please, when you came to our crusade, I was saved. I accepted Christ. I had a great feeling. But you know, something happened to me. I began to smoke marijuana. I began to go out with the guys and the gals in school. I began to just do, and I lost the touch of God upon my life. The fastest way you can lose God's anointing, young people, and that's to fool around with the world. And finally, I wrote this young lady, said, please don't tell my pastor, please don't tell my parents. And she said, please write me on a Wednesday. Because if you write me on a Wednesday, I get the mail every Friday, Saturday. If my mother gets it, she'll open it, I'll get in trouble. So I wrote this young lady and gave her scripture how it was wrong for her to smoke marijuana. I was wrong for her to do those things. And 2 weeks later, I was in California. I had a letter forwarded to me from our home in Oklahoma to our meeting in California, Los Angeles. She said, Mr. Torres, I got your letter. I appreciate what you said, but things aren't getting better. Just the other day, I bought some heroin in school. This is a 14-year-old girl from an Assembly of God church. And she said, not only that, I was invited to join a church, the Satanic Church. There's a church in Oklahoma City, a Satanic Church where they worship the devil. She said, I'm going to do it if something doesn't happen to me. If God doesn't meet me, it's going to happen. You know what's happening? What's happening is many of you hear the word, but you don't let it sink deep in. See, it must not only sound good. You know, just because Brother Torres comes and says something good and it sounds good, doesn't mean that you've got it. You got to practice what the preacher says. Now, when you love somebody, now when you take a young lady here, there's a lot of pretty girls here. Fellas, is that right? There's a lot of pretty girls here. Now, when you fall in love with a boy, you just don't tell him, I love you. Every once in a while, you'll go, and you give him a kiss. You put to action what you feel. Am I making sense tonight? You put to action what you feel. And so in order for you to receive anything from this camp, you must put the action, the lessons that you hear every morning in the session, the preaching from the word every night, you must put it to use. What good is a $5 bill if you don't put it to use? Huh? Now you can have that $5 bill in your pocket and it will burn your hole in your pocket. It won't do you no good. Until you learn how to use it. And you must learn to use the words of life. Jesus is the author of life. And he's given you the power to understand his word. And I told this young lady, I said, there's only one way. You must get saved. I said, you must tell your pastor what the problem is. He understands. He'll pray with you. He'll counsel with you. But there's so many lost young people who have become spectacles and targets of the world because they have not heeded to the word of the Lord. Now, some of you have had enough gospel already today that you have no excuse to stand before heaven and say, God, nobody told me. Some of you haven't even smiled this whole service. You haven't even wanted to praise the Lord. Some of you have come with the idea that maybe I'll meet some guy for the future, some girl for the future. But listen, that's good. If you find that, that's good. But the primary purpose we come here today is to become soldiers of the cross. That we may become better, stronger people in Jesus Christ. And Paul was the kind of man that got into any situation. The Bible said that he was walking on the Damascus road, killing, persecuting Christians. And all of a sudden he saw a great big light. And that light struck him down. And Paul fell and he said, man, what's happened to me? And he was told to go to a certain home. And there God sent one of his choice servants to lay hands on Paul that Paul may be saved and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And it was Paul who turned cities upside down. It was Paul who preached the gospel. It was Paul who was in Asia, who was in Ephesus, had several great miracle revivals and did great things because he became a spectacle. You know what happened to him? Some of you are crying, my mommy just don't understand me. She just don't understand me. She doesn't understand that I'm 13 years old and I'm 14 years old and I want to go out and date. Hello? She don't understand that them boys like me. They'll do anything to go out with me. My mother understand I'm beautiful. And these fellas, my dad doesn't understand. He just thinks I'm a kid. Well, you are. You really are. But you must learn to get away from that sorry feeling. Paul was shipwrecked. He was in the deep. He was beaten. He was stoned. And yet Paul, after all these tragedies, you know what he said? That I may gain Christ. That I may continue to have the fullness of Christ. He became a spectacle. And I believe that God will take you through some things because God is not interested in putting you down and putting you down where he can hurt you, where he can beat you. God wants to make you a battlefield. He wants you to be the battlefield. And the only way he'll put you on the battlefield is if he can trust you and give you the anointing to pull through, just like he did Job. Job, everything, his sons and daughters died in accidents. They were killed. His wife, his cattle, his children, everything that he had was gone. And Job had nothing. A spectacle. He sat in a pile of ashes. Boils all over his body, young people. And the devil came and said, hey man, you need to forsake God. Hey, he don't love you. Even his wife came and said, you ought to curse God and die. Finally, Paul said, as Job said, in my distress, I looked to the right, there was nobody there. I looked to the left, there was nobody there. He said, I looked all around me, there was nobody there. And then Job said these very precious words, he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as pure as gold. Hallelujah. Give God a big hand if you believe that, everybody. We'll come forth as pure as gold when you trust the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You become God's spectacle in God's battlefield. One more thing, young people. Listen to this. Even David had his problems. And David was a young man. But nowadays, people think, you know, David was very proud. Now, I don't know whether you studied your Bible, but I'm going to tell you something about David. David was a man after God's heart. But I don't know whether some of you theologians know it, but David was proud. How many knew that? David was proud, and the Bible said in 1 Samuel 17. How many like to be proud? How many of you fellas stand in the mirror and go? You're just proud. There's something about the clothes that you wear. They look so good, and you're just proud, and you walk. And you stop and you look at a girl and you go, hi there. There's something about being proud that David had a little bit of it in it. And everybody does. Even your mother and father do. Huh? You go tell them that when you go home tonight. When you go home, not tonight. Don't go next Friday. Don't go home tonight. Have the decap on my back here. You tell them. Everybody has a little bit of pride. And David came. Where did he go to? What are we talking about? We're talking about spectacles for Christ on the battlefield. And David came to the battlefield, and when he saw his three oldest brothers, who were not doing nothing for God, were letting this great big giant overcome, David said, what you guys doing, man? You gonna let those giants mess you up? And they said, hey, come on, David. What are you doing here anyway? Well, David had come to give them their lunch. And when he got out there, them brothers of his were shaking in their boots. Everybody was afraid. The Philistines had come in. And David said, who's going to fight that uncircumcised Philistine? Who's going to stop that guy? I remind you, young people, that Bible history leads us to believe that David was between the age of 17 and 22 years old when this episode and this drama took place in his life. And he had his brother's lunch in his hands, and he said, hey, I'm going to fight that Philistine. David, you can't do it. Get out of here. But David became a spectacle. He was too proud to let the giant destroy God's people. And it's time that we get a little bit of a spiritual religious pride. Don't you think so? A little bit of spiritual pride wouldn't hurt anybody. You say, I can do it in the name of Jesus. When the devil comes your way, say, devil, I don't want your trash. Come on. Somebody says, hey, come on, take some marijuana. Say, no. No, don't do it like that. Don't get real ugly. You know, somebody, you ever ask somebody to do something? Hey, you want to go over here? No. Real mean, you know. You don't do that. When somebody tells you, just say, no. Sweet way of doing it, eh? You can say, and you know, the fascinating thing about it, young people, every time you tell the devil no, it means I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. Oh, I tell you, David was some kind of character. He was proud. He said, hey, man, if you guys don't do something about this, I will. He sure will. And all of a sudden they said, well, wait a minute. Somebody overheard the conversation and they ran over into the tent of Saul, who was the king of Israel at that time. And Saul was in a backslidden condition. You know what backslidden is? It means cold, without the touch of God. And Saul was there shaking, afraid that the Philistines were going to invade the Israelis. And there was problems and difficulties and conflicts. And all of a sudden, one of the lieutenants comes, gets into the tent, says, King Saul, there's a young lad out here whose name is David. And he said, he's going to solve our crises. Can you imagine that? A young 17-year-old boy through 22 years old, between 17 and 22, said, I'll solve the problem. And he comes in.
Hi, Saul. My name is David. And I was taking care of my father's sheep one day. How old are you?
12.
Shake my hand. Are you married?
No.
All right. He said, I was taking care of my father's sheep. And all of a sudden, this great big old bear came. And I took that bear and I gave it an uppercut. Pop! I pulled his ears. I pulled his chin whiskers. I ripped his beard off and punched him in the nose and killed him. Mm-hmm. That's Torah's commentary. It's not on the market yet, but it's a good one.
He said, furthermore, I took the lion and I destroyed that lion. And that uncircumcised Philistine, I'll do the same to him, seeing that he have defied the army of God. Talking about a spectacle tonight. A young man who is willing to stand in the front and become a spectacle for God. And Saul said, I appreciate your courageousness. I appreciate your courage. I appreciate your willingness. But David, you're too young.
What do you mean? I'm too young.
You're just too young, son. That giant's big, he's seasoned, and you're too young.
David said, all right. You think I'm too young, but the Lord is on my side.
Come on now. The Lord's on my side.
Had a young boy get saved in Rush Springs, Oklahoma. He was smoking dope, getting loaded every night. Came to the service one day. The Holy Ghost got a hold of him. He got saved. And the next day, he went to school. And his friends came to him and said, hey, man, I got some dynamite grass here to give you. He said, I got a dynamite God to give you. You see, he got loaded with the Holy Ghost.
Somebody asked me one time, said, Lewis, since you've been off drugs almost 8 years now, used to shoot heroin almost $100 a day worth of drugs. You ever get a desire to go back on drugs? I said, nope. When I got saved, I got an overdose with the Holy Ghost. I don't need that. Hallelujah. Hey, David said, listen, David, I will go fight that Philistine. And Saul said, okay, if you insist, let me give you my helmet. And he goes and digs his old dusty helmet. I ain't used it. Now, stand still, son. Puts it on David's head. David goes, he said, now wait a minute, let me give you a shield. He runs and he gets this big old dusty, dusts it off. Here, take my shield, take my sword, and here's a coat of mail. And David's standing there with all this equipment. All of a sudden, now you can go, son. He says, but I haven't proved all these things. I've never used this before. And David said, but I will go in the name of the Lord. And David took his helmet off, took the shield, took the sword, said, Saul, you need it more than I do. Take it. And he got some little stones and he picked them up and he went running toward the giant. Now there's something about little stones that dazzle me. I'm reminded of the little skinny boy. He was so skinny. When he stands sideways, he stick his tongue out, he looked like a zipper. He was skinny, man. And they always picked on him. There was a big bully always picking on people in school, and he was picking on this little skinny guy, and they called him Skinny Winnie. He was skinny. And this big guy plop him on the head, and then every day after school, without exception, he chased him home. And one day that skinny kid got tired of running. He stopped in front of the porch of his home, and he picked up a big rock. He said, fat boy, you come one step close, I'm going to knock you out. Boy, that guy looked at him. He said, oh, you're not going to do that.
He says, you come one step closer, I will. And that big guy, big bully, just climbed over the fence that had come, and that skinny guy took that rock and let it go. Whop! Popped that guy in the head. That guy fell. Ooh, you know. Next day, he went to school. Big band-aid on his head. He's looking for that skinny guy. I'm going to get him, man. He's looking, and that skinny guy, he run into English class every time he see him with the math and just get away from him. And all of a sudden, he got face to face with him. And that skinny guy went, oh, and that big boy was coming. And he stood there and looked at him. All of a sudden, that skinny guy just went in his pocket and rattled a few stones, and that guy took off. Hey, I tell you something. You get a few Holy Ghost rocks, they'll work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, David picked up, according to the Bible, 5 stones from the ground and started walking toward Goliath, got a sling in his hand, and he stopped dead at the giant. He said, I'm going to get you. The giant didn't believe it because he didn't do nothing, so he said it again. He said, I said I'm going to get you. The giant didn't do nothing. David kept going. The giant said, what's wrong with you Israelis? I tell you to send me a man, you send me a little boy. That little boy was a spectacle. I said a spectacle. You know what the word spectacle, it comes from the word spectacular. And I want to tell you something, you're looking at a spectacular preacher. I'm a spectacle for Christ. Oh brother, I just don't like that. You being too proud. I am proud of what Jesus done for me. I'm not ashamed to tell you that. I'm proud of what God did. This is a humility bag. Well, it's so good. You know, people try to play like they're nothing, but man, deep in your side, you want somebody to tell you something good, don't you? Come on. David said, I'm going to get you, man. And I tell you, that giant kept coming, and David took that little stone and put it in a sling, and he went, let that thing go. And it sailed through the air with the greatest of the power of the Holy Ghost and plop right in the giant's head. And the giant went, and he fell to the ground. That's right. You know why? Because David was willing to become a spectacle for Christ, for God. And I guarantee you, young person, the giant of drugs, of immorality, of illicit sex, of rebellion, that giant that tries to control you and manipulate your mental faculties, it has to go in the name of Jesus. If you take the Holy Ghost stones and knock it down. And some of you need to go home after this camp and clean up your room, man. You've got some giants in your room that are trying to control you. They're trying to deceive you. And you need to go home after this camp and say, I don't want that. And put a big picture of Jesus in your room. And get up in the morning, say, Jesus, I love you. I'm your spectacle. Get rid of Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, and begin to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Give God a big hand if you believe that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Now, there's three more people I want to talk about that were spectacles. Now listen to this. Before I talk about these three people, I want to tell you what happened in Philadelphia Teen Challenge when I was working there. Most of you people, how many of you live on farms, ranches? Okay. You know what I'm talking about when I say my wife was raised on a farm in a ranch, and her father's a farmer, rancher. He's a combination of those. Guess he's a French, I guess. And as Brother Brankle says, I guess. And so he's a combination of both. And so I know a little bit about farming because I didn't know a whole lot. When I first met my wife, you know, she kind of liked me a whole lot, you know, and I kind of liked her a whole lot. And finally we got together and got married. When we went to get married, the preacher was telling me, you take this woman to be your wife, to love and to hold. She said, he does. Anyway, we finally got married. But before we got married, I remember one time going out to the farm. I had met her daddy. He's kind of an Irish-looking guy. And at first, he kind of looked at me. You know how future father-in-laws look at you. They look at you real funny, you know. Especially when you come to take away their little daughter. And so, you know, after a while, my wife said, let's go look at the ranch, the farm they got out there. And so we got in that old pickup and bumpity, 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 bump out to the farm, you know. And I'm from New York City, never been out in the farm. No, you know, first time I really saw cows when I came to Oklahoma. I don't know what cows in New York City. You see cars, 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 and buildings and cars and buildings and graffiti on the wall. And all of a sudden, I went out there and her father hopped out of that truck like an old farmer would, overalls. Got out there and went, "Shoo, cow, shoo!" I thought he was having a heart attack. So what's he doing? So he's calling the cows. "Shoo, cow, shoo, cow!" I said, "Oh my goodness. I thought he was going to die there. I was going to pray for him or something." I said, "Oh no, he's just calling the cows." So I made a spectacle out of myself that day because I didn't know what he was doing. But we had a girl that came out from Oklahoma and came to work at the Teen Challenge program. And listen, she had no more sense. And you hear this real good, young people, because the girl I'm talking to you about is still serving the Lord, goes to an Assemblies of God church. She was never an ex-junkie. She was never a hooker or a prostitute, a cheap girl walking down the street selling her body. She was a girl raised in church and saved and filled with the Holy Ghost ever since she was 5 years old. And she came to Teen Challenge. And one day she was witnessing on the Rittenhouse Square, one of the most notorious sections in Philadelphia. I roamed up and down those streets telling people about Jesus when I first got saved. And she went in there where there's whites, blacks, Puerto Ricans, Italians, everybody. They're all there. And it's a mixture of these people that are mean, vile, that'll kill you just to look at you. And she walked around with a handful of tracks. Man, she had the joy of the Lord. And she was walking telling people, "Jesus love you, Jesus love you. Here, take a track, take a track, take a track. You don't want one? Take one anyway. Here." Man, she was giving tracks to everybody. There was a mean guy named Jimmy there. And Jimmy came up to this girl and grabbed her and said, "Come here." He was a mean guy. And he looked at her and he says, "You better get out of here." And man, all the mother, and this guy was a black guy, and this other white guys and Italian guys, Puerto Ricans, all came. It was not no racial thing, man. It was just simply, and they all came around and said, "Yeah, get out of here. We don't want you talking about God here." And Jimmy looked at her and said, "See your arm there? You come around here one more time. We're going to take one of these needles full of heroin. We're going to inject you and give you an overdose." Boy, I tell you, that girl got scared. And the Holy Ghost said, "You witness for me." Boy, she continued being a spectacle for Christ. They grabbed her again. They said, "What did we tell you? Did we not tell you to get yourself out? They're going to die." She was willing to become a spectacle. She didn't go home crying to mom and said, "Oh, mama, come send me a plane ticket. I want to go home. I want to leave the ministry, man. This thing's getting rough." No, she went, got on her knees, got fresh, dry clothes on, went back to the same place and began to give more tracks. This time, she told her friend, said, "I want you to pray for me." Never told nobody what happened. If she would have told them, they would have never let her go back. She said, "Pray for me. I'm going to go give tracks." Well, they said, "That's nothing unusual. She does it all the time." So all of a sudden, she went and started giving tracks. And she walked around and saw that bunch of guys. She said, "Oh no, Lord, you're going to have to protect me." And she started walking. Man, she kept walking, handing out tracts, and walked right by those same guys that threatened to kill her. And they watched her with glued eyes. They just looked at her but wouldn't touch her, wouldn't move, like they were frozen. And then she gave out all her tracts and walked right by them again, went back to the coffee house, which was a few blocks away. They followed her into the coffee house and went there, sat there, said, "You think you're smart, don't you? Playing a trick on us like that." "So what are you talking about? We told you not to come in that neighborhood no more. And we saw you bringing your boyfriend, so we didn't do nothing to you." "Say, what you mean, boyfriend?" "We saw that guy walking by your side, stood 6'6" tall, dressed in white. That was the angel of the Lord." Brother, I tell you something, when you become a spectacle for Christ, God will take care of you. Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego became spectacles. This great big king Nebuchadnezzar said, "I want everybody to bow down." And this the philosophy today. Young people, they're telling you, join demonology, tarot cards, soothsaying. Los Angeles, California, they got Jesus hate clubs. Every kind of persecution is coming upon the world like you've never seen it before. You're going to have to be a spectacle. Have wisdom, have power, and boldness. And all of a sudden, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were being intimidated. The devil was trying to steal their joy. And when the devil steals your joy, young person, you hear me well, if the devil can manage to steal your joy, he's got your strength. And that's Bible. For the Bible said the joy of the Lord is our strength. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Christ's ambassadors, walked up there and said, "We're sorry, King. We told the people around, everybody was bowing down, said, we can't do that. You better bow down. We can't do that. We serve God. How many is glad there's only one God, one mediator between God and man, and it's the man Christ Jesus? Say amen. Jesus. And all of a sudden, one of the guys was bowing down with his eye half open and said, "Hey, King Nebuchadnezzar, there are three guys over there. Three guys you have appointed. And they're not bowing down." King Nebuchadnezzar said, "Go get them." They brought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego before them. And they said, "Is it true that we hear that when the sounding of the trumpet, the flutes and everything, and all the clarinets and all the music instruments play, everybody's supposed to bow down? You guys don't bow down?" "It is true, King Nebuchadnezzar." "Well, I want to tell you something, fellas. If you don't bow down, we're going to burn you up. We're going to put you in the fire furnace and burn you." He said, "Well, when we bow down, we're going to burn anyway." Mm-hmm. That's right. So they said, "All right, I'm going to give you one more chance. I'm going to start the whole ceremony all over again. I'm going to stop the musicians. I'm going to stop the dedication. We're going to start all over again. Give you one more chance to bow down to us." "We ain't going to do it." No, they didn't say that. You're not supposed to say "ain't." "We aren't going to do it." That's English teacher for you. Little girl used to say "ain't" all the time. "Ain't, I ain't, I ain't, I ain't." One day the English teacher said, "Honey, you don't say ain't. Now listen, you're not supposed to say ain't. Now listen to me. He's not going. She's not going. They're not going. You're not going. I'm not going. Do you understand?" She said, "Sure, ain't nobody going." Anyway, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, "We aren't bowing down." And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego all of a sudden said, "If we are thrown into the fiery furnace, the God whom we serve is able to deliver us. And if he doesn't deliver us, hear it now, young people, we'll still not bow down and worship you." That's what you call determination right there. That's what you're going to get in this camp. Determination. Become a spectacle for Christ. When you go back home, your friends laugh. Say, "You can laugh all you want. I've got the touch of God and the Holy Ghost inside of me." Hallelujah. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego looked the king straight in the face and said, "We won't bow down. We're not going to do it." "No." They didn't say "no." They said "no." And smiled real big. Brother, and I tell you something. They took him and they threw him in the fiery furnace. And would you believe, the king got so mad, he turned the fire 7 times hotter. Is that how it went? How many know the story? 7 times hotter, man. He turned that thermostat up, and it was hot in there. You think West Texas is hot? Man, it was hot in there. Brother, coming to Texas is like coming through a desert sometimes. Man, you don't know when you're going to get out of it. I came into El Paso, Texas, from Los Angeles. Got into El Paso, 620 miles to Dallas, Texas. How could two cities in the same state be so far apart? I don't know. But they are. And man, I tell you, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were in the furnace. And all of a sudden, Shadrach said, "Meshach, you there?" Abednego, he couldn't find, they couldn't hear. And all of a sudden, Shadrach went, "1, 2, 3. Ooh. Something's wrong here. There was 4. So there's something happening. He said, I must not know my mathematics too good." He tries again. 1, 2, 3. You know who it is, don't you? The Bible said it's the Son of God. He's the one that'll go to you in your dormitory. He'll go with you to school. He'll go with you to church. He'll go with you in the street. He'll go with you to youth camp. He'll go to the CA convention. He'll bless you. He'll save you. He'll give you peace. He'll give you love. He'll give you joy. He'll give you happiness. He'll give you satisfaction. He'll give you a good boyfriend. Give you a good girlfriend. Give you money. Give you joy like you've never had it. Hallelujah. That's the one. His name is Jesus. And he said, "If you will become my spectacle, I will become your God. You will be considered a fool by the world standards, but you will be wise." 1 Corinthians says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Some of you need this tonight. You need to become God's spectacle. You've been living on the borderline. You've been in the balances saying, "I'm going to do it at a more convenient time. I'll get it together." But God says, "This is your night. God brought you here. Some of you didn't even plan to come to youth camp. It was a last minute thing you did. Because God wanted you to see and feel what you're going to experience in this building. Now, I'm going to ask the piano player to come for just a moment. I'm going to ask a very important question to you in just a few moments. But before I do that, I'd like to share the testimony of a young man that is not here with us. Maybe a counselor who knows how to play, or somebody else. Please, someone that can play the piano if we don't have... A young man who came to the Teen Challenge program. His name is Danny the Bartolomeo. And I wish that Danny were here tonight to tell you this story. I hate to tell people's story for them. But Danny's not able to be here with us tonight. So would you mind if I tell you just in the next 2 or 3 minutes his story? I'm going to tell you real briefly about Danny because I think he'd want me to tell you. I think he'd want you to know. Please play that chorus. I know the Lord will make a way for me. In F, please. And Danny the Bartolomeo was an Italian boy. Him and his family migrated from Sicily. And they came to settle in the United States. They got an apartment in South Philadelphia. That's the Italian section of South Philadelphia. The Spanish section is in North Philadelphia where we lived. And Danny the Bartolomeo began to fool around with a bunch of guys. Started off by simply taking cigarettes and liquor. It begins very innocent. The first little stick of cigarette. And then to liquor, and then finally pills, and then finally hooked on drugs. Stealing from your own mother and father. And Danny turned into a drug addict. Never dreamed that the first day he took a stick of just a regular Lucky Strike or Marlboro or Kool's, that he thought he was going to really make it. But he turned into a drug addict and became a speed freak. He began to shoot speed into his veins. He was only 20 years old. And he took a load of speed one day, shot it up into his veins, went to his third floor row apartment like he'd done for years to shoot up. While he was shooting this speed up into his veins, he began to have what we call the horrors. He began to have a bad bum trip. The kind of trips that Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin never told you about. The kind of trips that the Beatles and the Rolling Stones don't tell you about. The bad ones. And Danny had a bad trip. And he began to have a visual hallucination and began to see a black spider. And that black spider began to crawl in his right arm. And Danny the Bartolomeo grabbed a straight razor from the cabinet and began to slice at that spider that wasn't there. It went to his left arm and he began to slice at that spider. Still no spider. He was cutting himself. Till Danny the Bartolomeo, 20 years old, fell into a pool of his own blood. His mother broke the door down, came, grabbed him, rushed him to PGH, Philadelphia General Hospital. It was there the doctors pumped all the junk out of him, strapped him down and put him in the psycho ward because they thought he was a psycho case because he was trying to kill himself, they thought. One of our Teen Challenge workers happened to be in the hospital that day visiting and saw that young boy strapped down, his blood dry, body emaciated, sick. And all of a sudden he walked up to Danny and said, "Danny, do you know God loves you?" Began to witness to him about the love of Christ. And Danny said, "I want to believe it. I want to believe it." And finally, after the long talk, Danny got saved and came into the program. Gave his life to Jesus. Began to study his Bible. Began to pray. Began to tell his mother what had happened. His mother was thrilled. After he'd been in the program 2 weeks, his girlfriend came knocking on the door and said, "I want to talk to Danny the Bartolomeo." The Teen Challenge director said, "Well, who are you?" He said, "I'm his girlfriend." He said, "Well, you can only talk to him a couple of minutes." Came in. She said, "Danny, I heard your mother told me what's happened to you." Do you think she was grateful? She said, "If you don't get out of this fanaticism and quit talking to God and reading that stupid, silly book called the Bible, it's finished. Me and you are through." And Danny was in love with this girl. He said, "Honey, you don't mean..." He says, "I'm through. Either the Bible goes and your prayer goes and get out of this crazy program, we're through."
He said, but honey, please, you got to understand, I'm clean now. I said, we're through unless you get... 2 days later, Danny the Bartolomeo left the program, went back to his girlfriend, to his old neighborhood, began to shoot drugs again. He'd get on the telephone and call, preacher, pray for us. Pray for me. I'll be back. I know you people are right. I got to get it together. He'd call the workers all the time. And finally, we didn't hear from him. The program stopped getting telephone calls. Danny the Bartolomeo went to a street corner to get a bag of methadrine. Purchased the bag of methadrine. Went to his third floor row apartment like he'd done for years. Wrapped the belt around his arm. Rolled his sleeve up. Took the needle. Jammed it into the skin of his veins and injected what he thought was methadrine. But the pusher had got so flipped up and so high that he mixed one bag with ground glass. And Danny the Bartolomeo shot methadrine with ground glass mixed. After he shot up, he took it out of his veins, felt this funny feeling never felt before. Went to his bedroom, laid on his bed. And 30 minutes later, his mother said, Danny the Bartolomeo raised up on his bed and screamed, Mother, call Team Challenge, and fell back dead of a heart attack. That's why Danny could not be at Camp Number 2 to tell you about it. That's why I tell his story everywhere I go. Because Danny was once a spectacle for Christ. But somehow the enemy grabbed him and put him back on the street. I'm afraid there may be a Danny here. Or maybe a girl like Danny's girlfriend. God loves you. If you're uptight tonight, maybe you've never was a drug addict. You never did things that I did. But if you feel like you're 1,000 miles away from God, God brought you here, young lady. Get it together tonight. Don't wait till the last night. Start right now. That way you can enjoy the rest of the camp with the love and the peace of Jesus. I'm going to have every head bowed. Nobody talking, nobody looking around, every eye closed. I want you to be honest with Brother Torres tonight. Say, Lewis, I know that everything is all right between me and God. If that's your story, fine. But there's some people in this building, some of you are in trouble with God. You need Jesus. You need for Him to come and make a spectacular entrance into your life so you can become a spectacle for Christ. I want you to raise your hand and say, Lewis, I must get it together with Christ. I don't have Him in my life. I feel 100, 1,000 miles away. I don't know if the trumpet of God sounds at 3 o'clock in the morning in the dormitories. I don't know if I'm going to leave. I want that assurance. I want to know that Christ is my Savior, my Lord, that He's my everything. If you don't have that assurance that Jesus will take you in the rapture when He comes, if you're not sure, if you've been in and out, you've been a phony, you've been playing church, you've been fooling around, man, you've been getting loaded on some stuff after school, then God's got your number. He wants to talk to you. He wants to help you. All I want you to do is see your hand. I want you to just raise it up high and say, Lewis, I must get it together with Christ. I'm far away from God tonight. I'm 100 miles away from Him. Let me see your hand. Raise it up high. Don't you be embarrassed. Come on. Let me see it. Raise it up. Raise it up. Don't play church tonight, kids. Come on. Raise it up high. Keep it there for just a moment. I want to see it. Keep it up there. Keep it up there. I want to see it. Okay. I want you to put it back down. Put it back down. You're in trouble with Him. There's only one thing to do. There's only one thing to get rid of that problem, friend. Young people, listen to me. There's only one way to get rid of it. You that raise your hand, don't even think twice about it. Don't even look around. Stand to your feet immediately right now and come stand right up here. Come on. Right now. Come on. Quickly. Before the devil cheats you. Quickly. Get down here fast. Come on. Hallelujah. Counselors, teachers, please pray. God's going to touch some young people in this building tonight. God's going to do the supernatural in this place tonight. There's people in trouble with God tonight. You're in trouble with Him. Man, you've walked your last mile. You're going to stop walking by yourself. God's here. I want some counselors. Come on, you got some kids up here from your section, from your dorm. Come on. Please. Please help me up here. Hallelujah. I want the rest of the church to please stand to your feet. The rest of the camp. Every young person, you came here. You really mean business with God. You say, Lewis, I'm tired of messing around. I want to get it together with Jesus. I want you to lift your hands and say, God, I'm going to receive you. I'm going to receive you tonight. Hallelujah.
I'm going to receive you in my life tonight. Oh, praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise your name, Father. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. While the Holy Spirit is moving in this building, how many of you can say, Lewis, I came to make a commitment to him? Let me see your hand up high. Come on. Let me see you raise it. I want to make a commitment to him tonight. Okay. I want you to talk to God. I want you to please follow me with this prayer. Would you do it? Listen for just a moment, and I want you to follow me with this prayer. And the counselors are going to lay hands on you. They're going to pray for you, and God's going to work the miracle in your life. Going to make a spectacle out of you. Now repeat this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, please come into my life tonight. Help me with the crises in my life. Help me get rid of rebellion, difficulties. Get the poison out and baptize me with your Holy Spirit, with your love, with your peace. Let me go home tonight to the dormitory with the peace and the joy of God. Now you can lift up your hand and say, thank you, Jesus, because I've received you. And I want everybody in the building to give God a giant praise. Lift your hands and praise him. Come on. Give him a giant praise. Come on, everybody. Every camper, every counselor, every staff, every faculty. Lift your hands and give God a giant praise tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Jesus.
I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me.